What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you experience effortless healing, awakening, and abundance. Now, today's episode, we're going to talk about some really fascinating, interesting, and mystical topics such as the Akashic Records, the importance of surrounding yourself with kind people, and near-death experiences, NDEs. So if you'd like to explore some or all of these topics at your home or maybe in your car, then make sure that you hit the subscribe button, because what it does something to the algorithms within the podcasting world. I don't know what that is, but it does something to the algorithms so that people who do not usually see our podcast are able to come across our episode. So hit subscribe, be part of our group. And if you'd like to join our official Facebook group of our podcast, the place where we have these exclusive discussions and we talk about some amazing stuff that we don't discuss otherwise, and we do some breath work, then go to mysevenchakras.com/tribe. My seven is a word, mysevenchakras.com/tribe. And with that being said, let's bring on our special guest for today, Teza Shalchita. Teza is a mystic and Akashic Records teacher, healer, and author of three best-selling books, Universal Conscious Self, Ions of Manifestation, and Cosmic Soul. And she believes that everyone can have access to their Akashic Records. We are part of the universal collective consciousness of human beings, and we are here to help others transcend this lifetime into oneness. And this episode stems from my own intention to connect with more creators and healers and yogis from in and around Vancouver, because historically, as you might know, my guests have been from USA, but I want to grow locally now and really connect with our community. So Teza, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
And are you ready to inspire?
Yes, super ready.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So it's super exciting. We usually start with an inspirational quote. So what is that one quote that you have on your mind right now, and how do you apply it in your life?
So this special quote is from Shanti Deva. It's I tapped into this when I was going through Dark Night of the Soul. So I actually literally wrote it down just because it's so deep. For as long as faith endures, and for as long as living beings remain. Until then, may I to abide to dispel the mystery of the world. It's a Bodhicitta's mantra.
Could you share that once again? Because I want to make sure that it, you know, is ingrained in me.
Yes. For as long as faith endures, mm-hmm. and for as long as living beings remain, mm-hmm. until then, may I too abide to dispel the mystery of the world.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. And how do you apply this quote in your life? How does it speak to you?
It speaks to me that we are living in a dark Kali Yuga. This is the dark age. And in that, there's a lot of human suffering. And if we have not awakened, we are going to be lost in the chaos. So for me, as long as space endures and human beings are here, I'm asking the divine that I will be abiding in helping others to transcend their victim consciousness.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for sharing. And I think that's very profound because we are living in times of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress, anxiety, a lot of changes are happening. People might be losing jobs or there are relationships that are breaking up or maybe, you know, unforeseen deaths and sadness. And in such a situation, a lot of people do not have the tools or practices to process what they just experienced, as well as release the trauma that they might be going through. And I think as healers, it's our responsibility to help and support these people. So thanks a lot for sharing that. Let's start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could talk about your childhood. Where were you born and brought up? Yes.
So I was born in Philippines, Manila. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was a child of nature. So I climbed the trees every morning, look at the plumeria flowers. I talk to the trees, the flowers, the frogs. Mm-hmm. I'm so connected to Mother Earth. And I lived there for 17 years. And in that childhood, I was experiencing a near-death experience at 2 years old. So I was diagnosed with diphtheria in the hospital, and my mom was telling me the story, and I have this vivid vision of myself and my mom carrying my body and my two brothers running in the hallway. So that vivid vision is so in-depth within me that I always have that that within me, and I feel that the things that I'm doing now is actually connected to that near-death experience because I have a lot of out-of-body astral projection that I do, you know. So I travel. A lot of astral traveling.
Cool. That's amazing. Thanks a lot for sharing. Now, when the condition that you had, could you explain to the audience what exactly that is?
Diphtheria is like a bacterial infection. You know, mm-hmm. when we have the immunization now, the vaccine of DPT, diphtheria polio pertussis, you know, that is now given to the children because in 1960s, I was, in 1965, that vaccine wasn't around. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so fascinating that the experiences that we have as children, sometimes there's a plant experience and then yeah. life comes a whole circle. Yeah. And, you know, we have the same experience or maybe we do that same vocation or we're doing that same practice in some way or the other connected to that one experience that we had as a child. Now, in my case, I, as a child, had a lot of wheezing problem, a lot of respiration issues. I literally could not breathe in many instances. And I used to have these spacers and these different sprays that I used to spray into my lungs so that I could breathe. And these days, I'm actually doing breath work, which is I'm teaching people how to breathe correctly and properly so that they get energy and can, you know, transform their lives. So it's very fascinating how something at all in your childhood reminds you of what you probably need to focus on in the future. So it's wonderful that you had that experience. I mean, not wonderful. I'm sure there's a lot of difficult trauma that is associated that you're working on right now, but it's definitely special. So how was your life growing up as a teenager? At some point you said that you moved to USA?
So my blueprint, my incarnation is literally about sexual abuse, death and sexual abuse. I have four or five planets in Scorpio. I studied astrology, but I don't do it professionally. So I'm so in tune with the planets and I like investigations. So just like what you were creating, like death. At a young age, I was actually being sexually abused by the babysitters as an infant. So during that time, that's when the sexual abuse was happening. And I put them all together when I was 27. So I migrated to Los Angeles from Manila. And also I came from a tribe. I have six brothers and three sisters.
Okay.
And I'm number 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, I feel like I was prepared, or I chose, my soul chose this tribe, so I could literally see how behavior works, the mind works, and how you can create a community, because I could read them, you know? So as a child, I was prophesying, I was a mystic. Reading palms at the age of 9, I would have vivid vision and I would tell my brother, your flight is canceled and you're coming back, and literally happens. So they're like, you know, it's so awesome. Yeah.
Right. So you're having these experiences, you're having these premonitions, you're receiving this information. So what is the reaction of your brothers and sisters? Like, are they saying, what happened to her?
I grew up being supported. So that's the beauty of my family. They believe in me. So I was the entertainer. So I grew up like an entertainer. They would always listen to me. They always have high expectations. And it's actually a very good childhood, because in the school, I was the president of the class every year. Okay. You know, yeah, very highly provided, like self-esteem is really wholesome. Yeah.
Thanks for letting us know. I think it's really important, especially in the formative years, right, to have the right self-esteem, to have the right support structure in your siblings, and especially your parents make such a huge difference. So as a teenager, what did you want to become? And by the way, when you share, if you could try to speak a bit louder, just so that the microphone, you know, picks up the volume. Thank you. Good.
So as a child, I literally have a lot of titles. When they ask me, what's your name? I would recite all these names. I'm Maria Teresa. My real name is Maria Teresa. Tez, Techi, Teza. I will create some other names. It's so fascinating now. I look back. What am I doing? You know? And then I wanted to be a doctor, a lawyer, an actress. So all these things are in my ambition list, right? But it didn't happen that way. I became a nurse. And yeah, so everything is just fall into the right places. So healing is my one number one passion. As a nurse, I was healing a lot of people who are dying. So I had experience. 100 or more people die when I'm there in the shift. So then I recognized you know, death is a big part of my calling. So I felt like I was a gateway for the elders to transition with love and into the light. Because my experience as a nurse in the nursing home, I've been there 28 years. I'm still there, casual. Mm. My experience are the elders are very lonely because the family members are not visiting them. So they have a lot of fear letting go of their body. So they're literally just waiting for their guide to let go of their suffering and feel welcome. You know, I always say this simple, very simple. I wasn't into this deep consciousness. I was just doing the things that I know how. So I will just say, you can just close your eyes and then you will find your loved ones waiting for you. And they love you. They're waiting for you. And the resident, literally, sometimes they're comatose and they will open their eyes and just have this amazing light, you know, illuminating from them, and they're happy and they just have the smile and they close their eyes, and the room is filled with the soul. It's a huge beautiful gift that I receive when they passed on.
So you know, seniors is something that I'm passionate about as well. And after my MBA here in Vancouver, I worked at a company where I had an opportunity to do a senior living project.
Oh, wow.
And I really studied the entire senior living spectrum from the palliative to the more independent seniors.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a spectrum, right?
Living, yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that ageism is definitely a challenge, not just in Canada, I think around the world. Mm-hmm. Where after a certain point, older people are considered useless, ineffective, right? And people don't visit them and they miss that social component, which is so important for any person to be with people who like, know, and trust them.
Yeah.
So as they were getting closer and closer to their death, what is something that you would notice on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a spiritual standpoint, would they be, you know, visited, or would they be having conversations with beings or something like that?
Yes, there's a lot of experiences. One thing for sure is the physical body goes into, a shift in their color, right? So their legs would be purple and they would have less you know, the breath is all different. It depends on the person, right? But spirituality, before I come to work, I would come into a dream with them. So they would tell me a message and I don't understand what is this message for.
Yeah.
So one particular time, I dreamt of my beautiful Nora, and she said to me, she crushed the wall of glass. Actually, her son crushed the wall of glass, and she said to me, please tell my son to forgive me. And so I woke up and I'm just like, why is she in my dream? Because this person was alive, right? So I come to work and I got the message that Nora passed away last night.
Right.
Yeah. And so I come to the room. I take care of the family. The family came from Seattle. And because I'm so open to this, I just literally say, you know, I don't know what this means to you, but I had a dream of your mom. And she was asking me to ask this, to give the forgiveness from her son.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, the family, the daughter and the granddaughter started crying. And they said, yes, I have a brother that have not kept in touch with my mom. And so it opens the heart of the family, and they connect to me. So it's like a mediumship.
Yeah.
And during in the room, they will I would always tell them, I'm a very joyful person, so I come into the room with joy, and they will call me, "You're my angel, you're the dancing nurse," so I dance with the residents, and yeah.
It's amazing. So this is probably the second or third time that I'm hearing about an experience that you had where the person who recently passed away in some way had a psychic communication with the person that they were in touch with. In your case, you were the nurse. Yeah. And I strongly believe through my own experience and practice that once we once we know how to use our heart to send psychic messages across space and time, then the other person does receive the message. And it's so fascinating that this happens. But I think humans have this intuitive capability, right, of telepathic communication. And I'm not sure if you've got friends who are nurses, but I would love to have like a panel discussion, you know, like
we have a lot of nurses,
eight to nine nurses, and all of them having this amazing discussion. Maybe we can organize that. Let's do it.
I'm actually going to introduce you to Zara Lalani. She's a specialist in hospice cancer.
Yeah.
And she does this interview with Death and Dying.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll plan something out, but it's great. It's so interesting to note. Yeah. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned from the dying so far? What is their biggest regret?
Okay. The biggest lesson is letting go of fear of death. Yeah. And that they want to feel that they are loved and that they are validated. So when I'm with them, I validate them, and that they feel loved by me. So I become like a channel of love that they didn't receive from their family.
So
that's the biggest message of the elders that had been forgotten, and they carry a lot of wisdom. So I used to interview my residents, but I don't put it in public because it's privacy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Confidential.
So yeah.
I truly deal with them. Their wisdom. I used to have this amazing farmer, and he was in his 90s. And I asked him, "What do you miss from being a farmer?" And he said, "The sound of the universe." And I'm like, "Sound of the universe?
What do you mean by that?"
Yeah. I Googled it, and the planets have sound. And when the astronauts are coming down to Earth, there is a sound. So the sound of the universe is in the silence in the farm when he's tuning into this. So it's so fascinating how our elders have a lot of ancient wisdom.
Yeah, one thing I think we're missing out on, especially because there's so much of modernization, is that the light above is literally polluted, right? We can't see the stars. We can't see a shooting star. We can't see comets. But if we go outdoors and up the mountain, like they say in some of these observatories, you can literally see like a million stars in the sky.
Yes,
maybe you can hear the universe also.
You can hear the universe. That's why I love nature.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Being in British Columbia, I want to experience more of nature. But definitely getting there. what is your definition of ascension?
Ascension. So for those who are new to this, you know, I was brought up as a Catholic. So in this Catholic religion, ascension is when we die and ascend into heaven. But ascension is literally transcending all your victim consciousness, letting go of fear, guilt, shame. And the map of consciousness by, you know, Dr. David Hawkins is a prime map for us to understand how we are vibrating as energy beings. So ascension is letting go of the lower chakras that you are, you know, speaking about. And allowing your consciousness to reach a higher level of the cosmos. And by that, you are having relationships with the ascended master, the galactic being, and literally activated your consciousness into being a multidimensional state of being. So mm-hmm. ascension is not dying, but it's dying to the old self and having a rebirth of your new light body. It's like reconnecting to your light body. Yeah.
Got it. Fascinating. Our listeners love this topic. Now, by the way, people who are watching this right now, it's live. So if you add a comment, if you add an observation, if you add some feedback or something that strikes you, make sure you add it in the comments below, because I'm monitoring comments on YouTube as well as Facebook. And Teza, I'm enjoying our conversation, but the microphone is, you know, adjusting a bit. Yeah, it's not, volume is proper, but it's just shaking a bit. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Because I love the conversation so much. Yes. And we're getting to an interesting place.
Yes.
But how did you discover the Akashic Records now? Like, where were you? Yes. What was happening?
Yes.
You know?
Okay. So on 2008.
Okay.
My friend told me, Teza, you have to have a reading about Akashic Records. And I said, well, what is Akashic Records? I thought it was about music. Because records, right?
Yeah.
I was so dumb.
Yeah.
And then I Googled it and stuff. And then I came into my email. There's an Akashic Record coming to town. So Jennifer Longmore from Toronto is coming to town. So I connected to her and she said to me, I'm actually doing my first teaching in Akashic Records.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I signed up for everything. So for 1 week on 2008, July, I was with Jennifer Longmore taking attunements from Ascended Masters, the Archangels, level one, level two. And then she told me, Teza, you'll be a writer of many books. And you have to stop going to school. You're a master. And you just focus on Akashic Records. And so I followed her advice because I used to go into so many workshops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just opened my records every day. I gave it for free. 50 people from the nursing home, I opened their records. I was just, you know, very passionate about it. So I had a lot of practice. Until by 2009, in 6 months, I established my business. And I started going traveling with Body Soul Spirit Expo. I went to Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa, Los Angeles. I actually went to New York. And so I just went on. I'm very passionate. When I'm passionate, I go for it. I don't have this self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I follow the guidance of the spirit.
Wonderful. By the way, I've had Jennifer Longmore on my show.
Did? Oh.
Yeah, I've had. Yeah, she was really amazing. We spoke about Akashic Records. So I didn't know that you studied with her.
Yeah.
Perfect. So that's when you were introduced, and then you realized that, you know, that was your thing. You wanted to go deeper into it, and you started serving and supporting people, and that took you on your travels. So for somebody who's new to this, what exactly does the Akashic Records contain, and how far back can you go?
Oh. So Akash is a Sanskrit word meaning ether, sky,
mm-hmm.
or primordial substance before anything becomes a form. So it's mm-hmm. like that creative juice, the substance, the zero point field, you know, the consciousness, the collective. So it's a very vast compilation of evolution of humanity, planets, and the universe. So everything that is in form is has a recording in the spiritual realm. So to make it simple, if you're an architect, you would have a blueprint before you build a house.
Mm.
So that's the Akash. So your soul has these vibrations, and you have traversed your multidimensional journey. And in this incarnation, in this limitation with the physical body, you will find contraction, and it's like confusion. Who am I? What am I doing here? And who is this family that I have? those questions will open you and lead you to finding the Akashic field. So the Akashic records, eons of lifetime, can only be tapped by the prophets, the sage, the seers. But now, because of the consciousness that we are living in, we have now gained access for the dispensation of grace, divine grace, mm-hmm. that we're able to see our highest potential, to see, to purify. This is a state of purification. So Akashic Records is not for the weak. It's for the souls who are courageous to face their dark night of the soul. So they are able to help humanity and the collective and all their family members. So it is a very, very, very sacred space that we go into. And the teachings that I receive is actually through a sacred prayer. So it's an initiation to the lords of the Akashic Records, to the lords of karma, to the gatekeepers, to the ancient wisdom keepers. So with Archangel Metatron, who records the scribe, he's a scribe who records the evolution of our consciousness, we are given the grace to enter, to understand. And why Akashic Records access is important, because you have to see why things are happening in your life, like tragedy. My son literally died 2 years and a half ago, Theo. And how I could see the bigger picture of the death of my son and what my soul contract with Theo, and how I was able to find healing and surrender the tragedy. And I was able to help others in this realm of suicide, sex abuse, and parenting. So I have a lot of clients who go through this, mental health, all these things are in our Akashic Records. So right now, the pandemic is a huge collective awakening that we are given to really go deep within our soul, mm-hmm. the soul's vibration in multidimensional lifetime.
So when you're looking at the Akashic Records, mm-hmm. and we think about the future,
yeah.
Is it all written down, or are these yeah. indications of what might happen, like the potential, mm-hmm. you know, like potentialities, yeah.
it's
and depending
like a crossroad.
On
so
crossroad, yeah, okay, yeah,
yeah, crossroad. Okay. So what yeah. I see is a hologram.
Okay.
So when I open a record, I tap into your past that is in that is recurring, has a recurring pattern in your presence, and how you can shift this and tap into your highest potential. But everything is here. Everything is here now. It's an mm-hmm. eternal space.
Yeah.
But because of the linear mind, the third dimensional body that we have, we get stuck in the past. We get stuck in the future. That's why people are not present. They work too hard. They work two jobs. They're worried and fear of if their security. So they're not in sync with the soul's highest potential. So by the time they come to me, they're ready to take the action. So my clients are actually wounded healers. Most of them are wounded healers, because I find that I'm their anchor to show up, to shine. So yeah, they have this emptiness and they have this kind of embarrassment. They can't get out of the family dynamics, and they have all these gifts that they need someone to share their life, because they're so stuck in the family and about the opinions of other people. And so this is where I'm at now. I create a community of wounded healers that that will help others transcend. Yeah.
Got it. Well, you can add one more to that list of wounded healers. Me, myself. But I agree, you know. I think. Yeah, it's like if you're a healer and if you want to heal, like you said, it's like opening the Pandora's box.
Yes.
Because then you're opening yourself to certain unexpected consequences, stuff that you could not have planned. But then that is for you to go through that experience so that you, by your own volition, can experience some pain or maybe discomfort so that you can, when you are trying to support somebody, you can say that I've been there too. Because otherwise, you won't have a frame of reference, right?
Yes. And it's the most, I find healing, if you're going through mental illness and whatever, get a healer that went through mental illness.
Okay.
Okay? Because she or he can see where you at and how she can pull you out of that illusion and bring you to your own divine light, your Shakti, your Kundalini, that will enlighten your illusions and fear. So that's what's happening. I have a lot of teenagers, actually. They come to me because they know I'm Filipino. And it's just a family, a huge tribe of Filipinos. And they will just come. I'm like, where did you find me, you know? And I just love these teenagers. They come to my home and I do healing for the whole family.
So the mother,
the teenager, and the father. Because mental illness is the sickness of the family.
It is of the whole family, right? Sometimes it's like a karmic, familial thing.
It's karmic. It's a bondage. And the one who's experiencing the illness is an ambassador for the family to let go of their ego, right? Most parents have a lot of control, rules. They don't know how to parent consciously. So they're very unconscious.
It's amazing. I love Filipinos, you know. Large families, loads of energy, music, a lot of good food. It's such a good vibe, you know, and especially in Vancouver, a lot of Filipinos. It's beautiful.
But it's full of drama too. So I stay away from drama.
Well, where you have a lot of energy and big family, you have sometimes personalities also, right? And so you have
entanglement.
Entanglement, which is one of my questions. We're going to come to that soon, but I don't want to jump.
Okay. But keep it grounded.
You can be grounded, exactly. How did you learn about your life purpose through Akashic Records? Like, I know for a fact that a lot of our listeners, they are doing a job which they know deep down is not in alignment with their values and what they are called here to do, right? And they know deep down they have to do something else. But I'm curious about how did you go about, your purpose? And where in that did being a nurse play? Right, because you were a nurse, but then you were doing other things as well. So I'm curious.
Yeah. Whoa, finding your purpose. I literally think your purpose is you within you, and whatever you love doing as a child is the magnet to your huge amplification. So I never question what my purpose, because I already know that I'm here. I'm so aligned in my divinity that there's nothing to ask where I should go. I am being led as a child, as a wife. When I was 19, I was trapped, because this is called the wounded mirrors, right? I married at 19, and the same personality of my father. So basically, my wounded soul took me to a relationship where I would be experiencing my wounds. And that is called sacred contract.
Okay.
So my ex-husband is my sacred contract to help me heal my wounds. Right?
Got it.
So when I was married, I literally hide to go to school to get all the requirements for nursing. And nobody knew that I'm going to school because I was 27 and I just had a baby, 6 months old. So Tiffany was only 6 months old. And I then I received the invitation for my nursing. And I told my family, and they're all shocked that I'm going to school. So, you know, my purpose is always compassion, kindness, compassion, joy. Mm-hmm. Those are my direction, and I live within this compass.
Mm-hmm.
So if something is not making me happy, then I do not belong there.
Right.
Yeah.
Something raises your vibration.
Yeah, it's simple, but a person is so complicated because she thinks or he thinks that there's something more that she's supposed to be doing. It's either financial, but the wealth is in your heart. So your wealth is in your breath, in your heart. And when you know that deep within, wherever you go, you'll be abundant. Because you're always connected to the source.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So you said that, you know, from time to time we manifest relationships based on what aspect of ourselves needs healing. So... like you said, you manifested your husband because you wanted to heal yourself, your wounded soul. So at what point do you know that you're healed, or do you keep attracting the same person again and again?
So at 36, I had a wake-up call.
Okay.
So there's a 911 scenario in my family, and the police was asking my son, Theo, why did you do this? And then he says to the police, my father is dragging me to hell. Those words are so powerful. I woke up. I'm done with this marriage because I was staying in the marriage because of my children. You know, when you have three children, you want a wholesome family, perfect picture.
Mm-hmm.
When my son said that to the police, I'm done with the marriage. Mm-hmm. I cannot listen to the words of my son and not be able to take him out of that equation. Mm-hmm. So at 36, I got divorced, and my awakening was coming around, you know. I've experienced the martyrdom, the sacrifice, mother of three children, single mother. you know, I was highly focused on education. My three children went to private school because that's my upbringing. Education is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I got free from all of this responsibility because they became responsible citizens. So that's, you know, the mystery of life is through hardships, I'm able to find light. Mm. And that light is my direct guidance that I am doing the best that I can. And I grow every day. I am not stagnant. I don't know anything. Is this actually the formula? I don't know anything. My knowledge is like a little fractal of the universal knowledge. So I'm so humbled.
Mm-hmm.
And I love listening to doctors and highly educated people, highly spiritual people, because from them, I learn and it's like adoption. I adapt the character, the integrity, the lesson of these human beings that come to me. So I see them like a library. So I'm like a library.
Mm-hmm.
I have books of people that come to me. Cosmic Soul is actually a library of the clients that came to me.
Right.
All right. So sure. That's how I tap into the records and rewrite the victim story. So I like storytelling, rewriting, and that's what it is.
So by the way, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this live, or maybe if you're catching a replay, make sure that you add a comment, give us a heart, give us a like, let us know that you're here, because otherwise we'll not know. And I can see so many of you are live right now. So yeah, give us a comment. Let us know what your thoughts are, feedback, observations, insights, some synchronous moments that you're experiencing right now. Bring it all in. But Tessa, I wanted to ask you, for somebody who's listening right now, how does a person attune themselves to the Akashic Records? How do they open their heart to receiving the information that they deserve to know? Any advice around that?
Yeah. So we're literally tapping into the Akash. We're alive. Our soul is alive. We're tapping to our soul. When you're in your zone, when you're an artist and painting, you're tapping into your records. You are an artist in many, many lifetimes, and you chose to be an artist again, you know. But this sacred tool is actually an initiation from the masters. So you're coming into a school where the teacher had been initiated and opening this portal as a sacred space for you to open your records. But you can, you know, they're all over. I actually give my books for free sometimes because I like the healthcare, my healthcare nurses, caregivers. I want them to have an access to this Akashic record.
Mm-hmm.
So just go around and find a teacher, a healer, a book that will open you up. It's so accessible. It's a prayer and an initiation that you will access.
Wonderful. So it's sort of like a prayer and invitation that you do so that you can call in? Okay. Cool. And, you know, diving deeper, you talk about clearing, right? So you say clearing of entanglements, of contracts, of agreements, and things like that. So what are entanglements and how do they affect our life in the present moment?
So entanglements is very, like real in your life. Like if you're husband and wife, you're entangled.
Yeah.
You have Akashic contract. You're you know, entangled in everything, really. Your mind, your spirit, your body. So that entanglement can, it's either it's for the good highest of all beings or it's victim consciousness. So a relationship is an entanglement. So we need to have this clarity what are we feeling, right? Always connecting to the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Are we feeling good with this person? Are we feeling tense? Are we feeling belittled? Or it's really basic, good mojo, right? If
yeah.
you're feeling good, you're in a good relationship. There's no entanglement. But if you're feeling all this animosity and you're here, you know, whatever that is negative, your
yeah.
gut thing. Today, I walked in the morning and I found all these beautiful colors of yellow.
Mm.
So the solar plexus is talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Gut feeling, your intuition, your trust. This is our brain. The gut is the brain, right? And people who have problems with their gut.
Mm.
Have a lot of problems with their mind. There's a lot of confusion, entanglement.
Yeah.
They can't sleep right, you know? So
yeah.
all these things. So you need a healer, a spiritual healer, Reiki healer. There's so many energy healing modalities, right? Reconnective, there's bioenergy healers, the shamanic work, all of this spiritual methods are here for us to help ourselves, like release those blockages that are in our chakras that had been there imprinted within our karmic wheel
mm-hmm.
From our parents, from our ancestors, our bloodline. So the DNA, all this clearing is happening now from our collective. So the humanity is experiencing a lot of chaos. If you
mm-hmm.
have done the work, and if you have done the work, you're literally abundant and shining and helping others to transcend. It's just really taking the action and claiming your divine birthright, that you're here to help.
Yeah, I totally agree about the gut. The gut plays such a critical and important role, not just spiritually, but physically as well, and chemically too, because the gut is the most responsible for the secretion of serotonin, which is the happy, feel-good hormone. And I think if you feel good, then you're confident, right? I mean, these go hand in hand. If you don't feel good, then it's going to be hard to be confident in your own body, in your own soul. So I totally agree with the importance of healing the gut, along with focusing on the solar plexus chakra. But you know, along those same lines, sometimes it feels like we've got these energetic blockages, right, and are silently holding us back.
Yeah.
And if somebody's listening to this podcast or watching the podcast, they surely know. What is your advice about clearing these unconscious, subconscious imprints, these triggers, these habitual tendencies that we, you know, engage in without even knowing? So how can we get to a place of more liberation and a fuller life? How do we clear this?
it's a very long process, but you can access it in many ways. Literally, if you want to have a clear mind, meditation,
mm-hmm.
sound healing is an activation of your auric field, energy field. We have nature to ground ourselves, the microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
We have to tap into Dr. Zach Bush and his field of amazing microbiome. So we have meditation, silence of the mind. We have grounding for our root chakra. So, because when we're receiving cosmic downloads, when we're receiving a lot of electrical energy, so we're literally electromagnetic fields of the human being. We need to ground this wiring, because if we don't ground, we stay in the air. And air is like a chemical bomb, like a uranium, you know. It's an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
So you need to open this portal and ground it into the heart chakra. We need to surround ourselves with healers and tribes, with the masters.
Mm-hmm.
We need to access the ascended masters, Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. The Violet Flame transmutes all energy that is not of light. And that brings us into the I am consciousness, the crystals. The crystals are here way back from Lemuria and Atlantis. So the crystals, I have here a Herkimer diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually find this in New York. Herkimer diamond is about a high vibration of oneness. If you want to have a unified consciousness, you have this Herkimer diamond's vibration, and it harmonizes and synchronizes your energy field towards being light. So those are, and smudge, right? So Palo Santo, I always have Palo Santo around. Yeah. So yeah, this Palo Santo, smudging, lighting a candle. So I do rituals.
Yeah.
I do rituals, yeah.
It's wonderful. I love crystals, but somehow when I get crystals, they always go away. It feels like somebody else needs the crystals more than me. So, but I want to get more crystals, and hopefully I will sometime soon. But I totally agree. You know, it's all about creating an environment around you that is conducive and facilitates your healing process. I was going to say something, but I'm sure that thought process will come back. But the other thing I wanted to say was... you know, we are the average of the people that we hang out with, right? And you've sort of alluded to the fact, the importance of community. And I've been wanting to do more activities here locally in Vancouver. How did you go about building your local community? How did you go about starting the process?
I think it was innate for me because I grew up in a home with 25 people.
Yep.
So imagine you have 25 people in your home. So you're so open to be a part of the tribe. So I feel on 2009, when I opened my business, I was able to open my home. So I don't recommend this to everyone because I'm just, you know, whatever experience I have, I share. I opened my home. I have a falling out from the church, the Catholic Church. And I started opening my home to anybody who has a spiritual inclination.
Yeah.
So I have no beliefs, no religion. So opened my home. It grew and it grew until 2017. I started the Om Healing Community with my friends. And we did five events. And then I found my niche is social media. So I just always announce. I have no shame or guilt. I just become myself. I'm my happy self. And people get magnetized to this energy. Mm-hmm. So people who are shy comes around me, so then they release their shyness.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I always have food in the gathering.
Food helps, for sure.
Yeah. But right now, of course, we're in this precautions with COVID. And yeah, talk about tribe. I want to announce that one. August 8th and 9th. We are here. It's called 888 Lions Gateway Event at NCA. It's niche crystals and amazing jewelry. It's so beautiful. I have like 15 healers. It's only 8 tables a day, and we have a meditation on 8-8 at 8 p.m. for the collective. So I encourage you to go and see us and feel the vibrations. Yeah, it's time to get out.
8-8-8. I'm born on June 8th, by the way. So I'm an 8 too.
You're an 8. Wow.
Yeah. My sister is also 8, April 8th.
Are you 19? What year are you?
I am 1987.
Have you done your numerology?
In parts, but I think it's been a while since I've done a numerology sort of analysis report. Mm. But yeah, I definitely resonate with 8, and so does my family. 8 is like our lucky number in our family. Yeah. The thing I wanted to say was, you spoke about church, right? I think church is very... one of the good things about church is that you're congregating, right? People come together Sunday morning and you're used to it, and you know, you meet community and you engage in spiritual activities. But if you're not a Christian, then it becomes challenging.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that you have these communities maybe on a Sunday morning, where you can bring together people and have some nice food and talk about topics that uplift you and bring you to the next level. So it's, I think we need to have more of that. And hopefully once the whole pandemic eases out, then we can have more spiritual church ceremonies. But
we froze on 2-2-2, we froze.
Yay, but can you see me? Can you hear me?
I could hear you. You know, we froze on 2-2-2.
We froze on 2-2-2.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I definitely sense there's some energetics associated with this.
Yeah.
But we have there's a process of rebirth of our interview that's going on. But I wanted to speak about what hurts us makes us whole. So what do you draw from that?
So true. Your brokenness are the treasures in the darkness. Because through the brokenness, you're able to open your heart and allow the divine light to embrace you, to sustain you. Because when we're hardwired, when we're core, our ego deflects all of this spirituality that we're talking about. Because the ego repents. Like, I don't want to hear anything about spiritual because I am strong in my body, in my mind. So it repels this opening. Mm-hmm. But when a tragedy comes to you, like a death of your beloved son, beloved child, it breaks open your heart and you are able to surrender your life because you realize I cannot control anything. This is a divine blueprint that I'm in, and how I could be like an eagle looking over the situation that's in my life and see the higher perspective of the soul, because we don't die. So my son comes to me, as he speaks to me so clearly. So as a mother, I feel his presence, his consciousness. He directs me and guides me. I ask, right? So every human being has this capacity to tap into the spiritual realm, into their loved ones, into the stars, the planets, because we are energy beings. There is no time and space. But because of this contraction in your body, this is the breaking of your body, opening your heart, so then you're able to embrace and allow this huge, expansive you, magnificent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it was Rumi who said that the wound is where the light enters. And these experiences that we go through, whether it's the loss of a loved one or like loss of a job that you've been probably doing for the last 10, 15 years, or something that's really hard to go through, breakup in a relationship, these are experiences that really humble us and make us feel truly human and realize that we're not all and everything, but we are part of something that is so big and wide and beautiful, right? And I totally agree. I mean, it's what hurts us does make us whole, or at least gives us an opportunity to seek something That is worth seeking. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing this with us. How did you go about processing this experience and dealing with the associated trauma?
So with Theo, I wasn't able to sleep for a week after the service. And I was lying down in the couch that he used to sleep in. And I woke up around 4 o'clock in the morning and I had information. It's like his soul spoke to me that when he incarnated as a son, he chose me as a mother because his blueprint is to help me heal my inner child. So he came to Earth and was sexually molested around 3 years old. So for many years, I was in counseling with Theo. I didn't know that it was for my inner child. I was healing my own sexual abuse as a child. So I became stronger, and he lived with me for 33 years. He never left me. So I became so strong that he is my hero. He literally incarnated as my son to help me do the work. So I am doing the work of parents who experience loss of their children, children who are suicidal. I'm doing the work for people who have sexual abuse. Even men comes to me who had sexual abuse.
Yeah.
This is huge, you know, vibration that we need to bring into the light about death, that we don't die. We physically go back to Mother Earth. We had a rebirth. And we're eternal. We can access, communicate to our beautiful spiritual loved ones.
Yeah.
So it's huge.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And it's very rewarding as well, the work that you're doing. Because I think that when it comes to suicide, you can't really tell that a person is going to commit suicide, right? The first people are usually smiling and they appear happy and normal. But you never know what's going on inside them. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and sometimes just when we check in with them and we, you know, support them, or maybe we share some gifts that we have that have helped us, that one thing can make, you know, a life of a difference, and we'll never know about that, that they were so close to suicide, right? So whatever work that we can do, I think it's worth it. So thanks. Cool. Based on what we've shared so far, based on the stories that we discussed and the stuff that we've been talking about, what is that one action step that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Did you say action?
Yeah, just one thing that they can probably explore or do or ponder upon or meditate upon, you know, something along those lines.
I invite you to be authentic. I invite the listeners, whoever comes across this message, to be true to yourself, to accept, embrace who you are with your ego, with your lightness. So then you're able to function with the yin yang, you know, darkness and the light. Darkness and light are here together with us. We are human beings. So a lot of people are hard on themselves, and I find that ridiculous, because this life, this snippet of physical vibration is so short that why are you making yourself work hard? Why are you hard on yourself when time is so golden, right? It's a golden nugget. So for me, as conscious as I can be, I'm always present with the person who's in front of me. Whether it's homeless, whether it's my patient with our interview, I want to connect into the heart and the soul of the matter. So I don't have this illusion about the other person or the things that I need to do. I'm present with you. So then we can have this deep conversation. Oh, this is so beautiful. Someone's popping up.
Yeah.
So I invite people to embrace your darkness and how you can fully engage as your authentic essence, yourself. Hope that.
That's a wonderful next step. I totally agree. I'm a part of this Buddhist community. I've got friends in this Buddhist community called SGI. I'm not sure if you know about that. But the idea is that there's a Buddhahood in everybody, and there's a potential within every being to realize their fullest selves. And irrespective of where they are today, I think when we have these conversations, my practice is at least to, you know, fully realize the potential, because, you know, in the internet social media age, like, things can change, right? Things are moving so quickly that people can change themselves. And so if we encourage them, even through our intentions, then that can be miraculous. So Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's session so far. We've explored some really powerful and important topics, including the Akashic Records, how to raise your vibration, how to get rid of these subconscious dormant blockages that are holding you back. And irrespective of whether or not you believe in this or you've experienced it firsthand, I'd say keep an open mind and a spirit of inquiry. There's a lot about the universe that we don't quite understand or we can't explain yet, but doesn't mean that it's not true. It just means that science has not caught up, and we probably need some more research and studies to understand these amazing and fascinating phenomena. I know the CIA has done a lot of research into psychic phenomena. So just search for Project Stargate. It's a top secret, obviously now open to the public. But Project Stargate, they hired psychics to sense what's happening across geography, across space, and on Mars as well. So there was a lot of stuff that the CIA is fascinated in. And if they're fascinated, you know that it's definitely powerful. And so... keep your eyes, ears, and heart open. And that's why Edgar Cayce once put, and he said, every moment of our lives, we are creating the images and patterns that give our future energy and shape, right? So the thoughts that you have right now, you can really manifest your future and bring it to the present moment. And with that being said, we are now at our wisdom round, which includes four questions so that our listeners can take note, take action. So, Teza, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received in your life?
The best piece of advice is be happy. My son told me this. He says,
just
Mom,
be happy.
Simplify your life. Be happy.
If you could turn back time and spend 1 hour with someone who is currently living or dead, who would it be?
My son.
And what is that one thing that you do in the morning or maybe in the evening before you go to sleep that has improved the quality of your life?
I pray. I light candles. I do rituals. I smudge the whole house. And I ask God or divine, who am I serving today?
And if you could recommend one book for our listeners today, what book would that be?
Well, of course, my book, but it's not what I have in mind. It's actually, I've been reading this book and it's really touching me, The Divine Thread. It's called The Divine Thread. Yeah, by a master, but the master's name is Buddhist, and I can't come up with it right now.
But the Divine Prayer? Is that what it is? Divine Prayer?
Thread.
Okay. Divine Thread. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Perfect. I just know.
I only read it like one chapter for like every few weeks because I need to assimilate the energy of the Divine Thread. It's a Kundalini amazing healer that is alive right now, actually. I saw him on YouTube, but I forgot his name yet. Divine Thread.
Cool. So Action Tribe, would you like to receive one book for free? Because audible.com is offering all our listeners, irrespective of where you are right now, you'll get one free Audible download with a free 30-day trial, which means that you can choose any book that you'd like from the Audible library and you can start listening to books. And in most cases, the authors themselves read out the books to you. So in case you're feeling called to start listening, go to my7chakras.com/free book. mysevenchakras.com/freebook and start listening to your next book. So Teza, thanks a lot for joining us today. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and how can we find you online?
I'm grateful for we are alive. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for our life and for all the people that are coming into our lives. Praveen, beautiful medium. And I'm grateful for you, AJ, for opening your heart and your life and your service to humanity. You are a great messenger, a communicator, a Mercury planetary informant that you are. I am grateful for your calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so super excited to connect with you. And hopefully we can have some in-person events in Vancouver. And that's exactly the reason why I want to connect with all these amazing beings like yourself from around Vancouver and British Columbia. But Action Tribe, if you're on Instagram, then make sure that you take a screenshot on your phone and tag us. So tag me on Instagram and tag Teza. My handle is @my7chakras. That's @my7chakras. And what is your handle? I'm also going to take a screenshot. I'm going to take a photo.
It's an amazing moment.
Yes. Yes. And so just tag us. And then we will share it with our community and spread the word.
Awesome.
So did you share your website?
My name is my website, teslashalsita.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Find me on Facebook, social media. Yeah, awesome.
Oh, okay, so I will add that into the show notes. Super appreciate that. And as the next steps, if you have some feedback, any questions, any observations, and you'd like to reach out to me, my address is aj@my7chakras.com. aj@my7chakras.com. So Teza, thank you so much for coming on our show, talking to us about the power of the Akashic Records and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my SEVEN chakras.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.